This week's parasha, Parasha Asrei. The parasha talks about giving tzedakah. It says in Kapitel Tezvav, Pasuk Zayin, Ki yiyeh b'cho evyoin me'achad achecha ba'achad sharecha ba'artzecha asher Hashem alikecha noisim loch. Lois ametz lavavcha, you should not harden your heart, veloisikpoitz yodcha, and you shouldn't clench your fists, meachicha evyoin, from your brother who is an evyoin, who is destitute, who is very poor. Ki pasoyach tiftach es yodcha loy. Open up, you should open up your hand. Rashi says, ki pasoyach tiftach, afilu kama pa'omim, even numerous times you should open up your hand. The stipler in the Birchas Peretz explains the Pasuk. He says there's two different scenarios that's occurring in the Pasuk. It's not one scenario. He says you have to put in a comma to read the Pasuk properly. And it's really, Ki yiyeh b'cho evyoin, ba'me'achad achecha, comma, or ba'achad sharecha. So if you see someone who is destitute, who is poor, who is from your brethren, from your brothers, Tama, case number one. Case number two, Ba'achat Sha'arecha, someone who's in your town, who's in your city. Then the end of the Pasuk says, Loisa Ames Etzelavavacha, you should not harden your heart, is again going on the first class of Me'achad Achecha, and the Loisik Poisetz Yodacha is going on Be'achad Sha'arecha. So what we have is that the disciple says that Me'achad Achecha, if you have someone who's from your brethren, which he explains to mean that if you know somebody who lives in your neighborhood who unfortunately is poor or he loses his money and he used to live up to a certain standard and he doesn't walk around collecting, and you know that he has no money, in that case, you have to go with the first part of the pasuk, Loisa ametz es lavavcha. You should not harden your heart, and you should give him as much as you can. As much as you can give him, you should give him. Keep your heart open. The person, he's the mitzvah of tzedakah, to keep a person on his social standing. So if a person, you could say, well, maybe he doesn't need a car, why can't he figure out how to walk? If a person had a car, and he lives in a neighborhood where everyone is driving a car, he certainly, if you give him tzedakah to help him buy a car, it's 100% tzedakah. The second part of the pasuk says, Me'achad Sharecha, someone in your city, which the disciple explains, it means you have people walking around with their hands out asking for money. He says, those people, V'loisik pois etziotcha, you just shouldn't close your hand. Which means is a much lower level of giving, of responsibility of giving tzedakah. He says is you should give something. You can give a minimum amount. You don't have to give. You want to give a little more, you can give more. But he's saying there's a difference between keep your heart open, give as much as you can. Don't keep your hands clenched. Give him something. So he stated in this type. The Kovetz Mamorim and Rechonon Vassaman has a kasha. He says, it says in Yirmiyah, the Gemara quotes Yirmiyah, Baba Kama, Daf Zayin on the base, and so the Pasuk says, V'yiyu mukhshalim lofanecha ve'eis apcha asei bohem. The Gemara explains, Yirmiyah had people that wanted to kill him. They hated Yirmiyah, they were looking to kill him. And Yirmiyah didn't like them. Yirmiyah davened to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that when the people that they give tzedakah to should not be people who really need tzedakah. So you mean that? Whoever they give tzedakah to, it should not be worthy people. Which means that they're really rich people. They're thieves. They're not people who really are entitled to tzedakah. So effectively, for those of you who are learning the daf, the Gemara in Brachos says that somebody has a good thought, then he gets it as if he did it. Which means that if they wanted to give tzedakah, if someone comes knocking on your door, and you say, oh, he says he needs money, and you say, okay, I'm going to give you money. And you think, you don't know if he has, you don't know if he's really destitute, if he's really poor, he's a thief, and he's a rich guy, and he just likes collecting money from people. You give him money. You're a das, you want to give tzedakah. You want to do the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. So the Gemara in Brachos Bavah is telling us that you yaitzeh the mitzvah. So what is a Yirmi accomplishing by saying that no, Baruch Shalom, please make it, these people should give it to people who are not kohagim, they don't really need it. What is Yirmi accomplishing? Zarka Bachanan, a murder you said as we approach a month of El, Chodesh El, tomorrow night, we have to start working on tshuva. Murder you said. Bachanan says, to every mitzvah, there's two parts. If a person gives tzedakah to an ani, he creates a tikkun in this world. A tikkun. If a person picks up a loaf and eser, he creates a tikkun in this world. Every mice and mitzvah a person does, he creates, he fixes, he creates something in this world. We might not be able to see it, but he creates a tikkun in this world. That's one part of every mitzvah. There's a second part of the mitzvah. And the second part of the mitzvah is what are you thinking? Do you want to give tzedakah because the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to give tzedakah, or do you want to give tzedakah because you want your name on the wall and you're going to get covered from it? Why do you want to give tzedakah? So there's two reasons of, there's two parts to the aspect of giving tzedakah. Zot Ebel Chanan, that he knew these people were Rishon. And they were giving tzedakah, but they were giving tzedakah for their own purposes. They wanted cover, other people were giving, they felt peer pressure, but they weren't giving because they wanted to fill the world of Rebbeinu Shalom. Yirmiyah wanted to only do the world of Rebbeinu Shalom, and they had a problem with Yirmiyah. They didn't want to do the Ratzon Hashem. So he said is, if they give to people who are not kohagim, they're still accomplishing something. They're still getting that aspect of tikkun ha'olam. They're still creating something. So Yirmiyah daven that there should be, they shouldn't even give it to people that are kohagim, and therefore they'll get zero. The fact that machshava is not there, they're not going to get schar for that. The maisa, if you didn't give to a person that really needs tzedakah, then you did not create a tikkun. Even if you had whatever your thoughts are is irrelevant, you did not create a tikkun. He says the same thing works the other way around. When someone chas v'shalom does an aver. He says, Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan did a chet. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. Tshuva. Today, there's still death in the world. What's pshat? Tshuva doesn't work? Zakhtar Bochanan, same Yisrael, but the other way. He says is that, Lamaisa, Adam Arishan did tshuva. Now, just tells us he did tshuva. There's two aspects of an Aveira. A person does an Aveira, he's married in the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's going against the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a married in the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And Adam Rishon went and didn't listen. It's a married. He went against the will, the Ratzon of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The second aspect of it, there's a kilkul in the world. The same way when you do a mitzvah, you create a tikkun in this world. When you do an aveira, you create a kilkul in this world. And that's why there's still death in this world. Adam Rishon got a kapara. But the kilkul still happens. Rebbeinu Shalom didn't have tainus on him, and he's in Gan Eden, and he's in Shemayim, and in a good place. Abel Mais in this world, he created a kilkul, and that could not go away. Now, certainly, it's very important for us to focus on having the proper kavanas. The Gemara in Tainus on Chav Dalet says a ma'aseh to Chanina ben Doisa. We know Chanina ben Doisa was a very, very poor person. Say Maisa with his wife, that his wife, she felt bad the Erev Shabbos. All the women had challah started baking in the oven and they had smoke coming out. She took hay or something, threw it into the oven so it also looked like smoke coming out. But these were holy people, Chanina ben Doisa and his wife. And what Maida Gemara says that the lady next door said, oh, I don't know if the lady's next door, but the lady said, I know Chanina ben Doisa's wife. She doesn't have any money. She's not making challahs for Shabbos. She's not making any food for Shabbos. He went over to Chanina ben Doisa's wife and said, open up your oven. Let's see what you have in there. And the Baruchel made an ace that there was taka food in there. An ace. But it's a famous nice of Chaim ben Daisa that his wife went to, his wife went to him and said, you know, for so many years, I want to give Gemilas Chasadim. What's the highest on Jay Gemilas Chasadim? To give money. To help people out. But we don't have money. We're poor. Down into the Baruchel, we should get rich. A golden leg came down from Shemayim, and the Mefarshim explained that was oneness. The biggerness was that when they saw it, there was Machlekes who had the dream. Either Chaim ben Daisa, his wife, Machlekes, and the Mefarshim who had the dream, but they had a dream that in Shemayim, Chaim ben Daisa was sitting at a table, and instead of all the other tzaddikim had a three-legged table. And they had a two-legged table, a golden leg, but they only had two. The three legs stand for Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And Chaim ben Daisa and his wife were missing that one leg. So the daven, she told her husband, I don't want it, take it back. And the Mefarshim came to Bigger Nation, the Mefarshim said, fine. And he took back the golden leg into Shemayim, and Shemayim, Chaim ben Daisa will have that third leg. The question is, what is going on? Chaim ben Daisa's wife, Mistam, didn't want to drive a Lexus. It's not the pshat. Why did she want this golden leg? Because she wanted to do chesed, she wanted to give money. It always bothered her. A poor person came, and she looked for scraps, and whatever she could find in her house. But she couldn't, she wanted to give everyone a lot of money. She wanted to help people, make people happy, and help them. If somebody really wants to do something, he wants to do a mitzvah, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes it as if it was done. But not only that, but the Ribbono Shel Olam kaviyachol does it for the person. When the Ribbono Shel Olam and his wife were on a very high level, they were on a very high madrega. But if they even themselves would have had all the cash and would have been giving over the money, it might have not been 100% l'shma, they might have been 99.9%, even on the high, their madrega, not 100% pure. But if their Ribbono Shel Olam is doing it for them, then it's 100% pure. So the Gemara is telling us is that while she wanted, she really wanted to do it so badly, tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam made it as if she was getting all the time doing for it. Once she would get the money and do it herself, it wouldn't be on such a high madrega anymore. And that was the sign of her losing the leg. And then saying, I don't want it anymore, and the leg going back into Shemayim. The famous Maaser, Reb Nachum Mendel Merimanov, he once went in the winter, he was looking for a mikveh, he went with his gabbai, and they traveled far, and they got to what they thought was the mikveh, and they found it was frozen. Frozen. Couldn't go in. So, they had no choice, they got back onto the horse and buggy, and they went back to the town. And the gabbai, Nachum Mendel's gabbai, saw that he was just so happy. He asked him, what are you so happy for? He's so happy for you. You didn't get to go to mikvah. We slept out of here, and you didn't get to go to mikvah. So Nachum Mendel said this yesterday. He says, every time I go to the mikvah, I try to have pure kavanas as much as possible. But it's not always 100% pure. I wanted to go. I slept out here. I was ready to do whatever I have to get to this mikvah. And now it's as if the Ribbono Shel Olam did it for me. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam does it, it's 100% pure, nothing less. When the Pasuk says, Ki posoyach tiftach, has a double lashon, perhaps the Pasuk is telling us that we have to work on both of these. We have to work on the machshava part. We have to work on giving tzedakah, because it's the Ratzon Hashem. But tiftach also, you should also open it up actually with your hands and give it out also. You shouldn't just make chesed, I really want to give, and be tight-fisted and say, I really want to give, I want to give so badly. But, say, you know, I don't know, my car might break tomorrow, so I might need extra money, I'm not going to give. So then the Pasuk perhaps is telling us, keep us chayat tiftach, have the machshava. But don't forget that Yisrael of Elchanan, that we still might want to make a ticket in this world, and we actually want to give tzedakah. And the Rambam says that he says Hizora mitzvah tzedakah yoisim mikol mitzvah saseh. You should be bizarred, be careful in the mitzvah tzedakah more than all the assays. What's the pshat? Maybe you could say that the mitzvah tzedakah shows that someone really believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs this world.
because someone who was worried about how is he going to live and where's his sustenance going to come from, I have a lot of money now, but who says I could lose it? I could lose it tomorrow. That means you think you're in control. The Baruch Hashem wants the richest person in the world could have no money tomorrow, and vice versa. So Lamaisa, it shows their true betachon their Baruch Hashem, which is perhaps why the Rambam says such a thing. Beginning of the parasha, it says, "Ve'ei anoichi noisin lefneichem hayoyim brocha uklala." See today, hayoyim, what is in front of you, brocha and klala. Es habrocha shetishmo mitzvos Hashem elokeichem asher anochi mitzave eschem hayoyim today. Va'aklala and loisishmo el mitzvos Hashem elokeichem misartem min haderech asher anochi mitzave eschem hayoyim. So we have in these first three psukim here, we have the pasuk keep on telling us that the Baruch Hashem is commanding us hayoyim today. Why does the part of the Torah have to continuously tell us hayoyim, see it today? The Goy is saying, they say carpe diem, seize the day. And the Goy is felt that means take all the tithes you can get in today. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Get it in as much as you can. Carpe diem, see it today. We believe in carpe diem, but not for tithes, and not for things of chol, but rather for ruchos. Hayoyim, today. Today choose bracha. The Vilna Goyin says, it says, Re'ei anoichi noisein, giving, a lashon hayve, every day. A person has a choice. Does he want to take bracha or klala? I didn't do so well before. In the last 20 years or 50 years or 80 years in my life, I wasn't so good. If you look at my past is not so good. I wasn't doing a good job, so might as well give up. The pasuk is telling you, no. Hayoyim, look at today. Don't look at the past. Look at today, as I say in the Goyim. It's a Kedusha Slavi. Very Kedusha Slavi. Chazal tell us, there's two different types of tshuva. There's tshuva me'ahava, and there's tshuva me'yira. Tshuva me'yira, a person can take his dainis, his averis that he did, on purpose, and turn them into shkogus. A low level of an averis. But a person can take averis, with tshuva me'ahava, a person can take averis that were done b'mezid and turn them into mitzvahs. Eishteit nechazal. Kedusha Slavi explains, how does that work? What's the mitzvahs in that? Someone does tshuva me'ira. Why is he doing tshuva? He's scared of getting punished. He realizes there's a God in this world. He realizes that he's going to get punished for his averis. So he does tshuva because he's scared. He's partially scared of getting punished. So, what does the person do when he's scared? He tries to ignore what happened before. So he says, tshuva, Rabbeinu Shalom, listen, I'm sorry, please forgive me, let's forget about those old averis. Let's move past it, let's move on with our relationship, let's start from today, from Hayim. But if someone does tshuva me'ahava, Kedusha's lady explains, he goes back to all his averis. He goes back to that Averis and looks, why did he do them? How could he be better? Because he loves the Ribbono Shel. He's not scared of punishment. It's not that, oh, I just hope the Ribbono Shel ignores it. It bothers him. He says, I shouldn't have done those things. He has charat al over. Why did I do those things? And he goes back, and he looks at them, and he looks at each one, and he says, how could it be better? How can I make it that it doesn't happen again? That's why those things, those averis, turn into mitzvahs. Because he's created by using those averis that he did b'mezid. He did it on purpose. As a marid in the Rebbeinu Shalom, perhaps. But now he's going and taking those and elevating himself. With those averis, he's elevating himself. He turns those into mitzvahs. If he uses that as a springboard to do tshuva, to make himself into a better person, then he turns those actual averis into mitzvahs. Murdig, he says, as opposed to the tshuva me'ira, you so to say want to sweep it under the rug, no one should hear about it, let's be quiet. So we have hayoyim, today, you should look at where you stand today. Perhaps the reason why it says it three times, Hayoim, 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 is once is for the Pashut Pshat. Today, Hayve, look at it today. But the Torah is going to teach us how to accomplish that. How do we choose today? How do we come today to choose Bracha, not Kola? There's two other Hayoims. One represents the Ovar, and one represents the Osid, the future. So as we just explained, the Hayoim of the Ovar is telling you, choose today, don't look at the past. Or maybe look at the past, and focus, but focus on today of how you can rectify the past. Take the past, build it up, and say, how can I become a better person? I did things wrong, and how can you improve? People might say, you know, Maybe today I can choose bracha. But I'm not going to be able to do it tomorrow or next week or next year. It's going to be too hard. How am I going to keep that up? I answered a really emotional. One day in the town, all of a sudden, they would come out in the morning and they look up in the sky and 200 feet in the air is a golden castle. Golden castle. In the castle is filled with jewels and gold and all the riches in the world. The only thing is how do you get there? All of a sudden the truck drives into town, comes into town, and the man in the truck is selling ladders. So the first person goes over to him and says, what do you got? He says, well, I have a 50-foot ladder for $50. I have a 100-foot ladder for $100. I have a 200-foot ladder for $200. He says, you know, I don't want to spend $200. I don't want to spend $100. I'll spend $50. Give me the 50-foot ladder. So he buys a 50-foot ladder. Second person comes over to him, and he says, 50, 100. No, I'm willing to spend 100. He buys the 100-foot ladder. Third guy comes over to him and says, I want the 200-foot ladder. Now what happens? The guy with the 50-foot ladder goes underneath the castle, stands up his ladder, takes the first step. When his second foot hits the first step, he's going to fall flat on his face. And as many times as he's going to try to get up on that ladder, the ladder has nothing to lean on. It's going to fall every single time. The same thing with the 100-foot person. The 100-foot ladder, a person who bought it. However, the person who bought the 200-foot ladder, he takes his ladder, and he leans it up against the castle, and he starts to climb. Now, he may get tired, he may slip, he may fall, maybe it's 200 steps, 200 feet is too hard, but at least he has a chance. The guy who has a 200-foot ladder has a chance. The other people, they don't even have a chance. What's the nimshal? The nimshal is that a person always has to have his idea, he has to know what the ideal is. What is the ideal in my ruchnius? What is the ideal in the world? What is the Rebbeinu Shalom want from me? I'm not there. Anyone that thinks he's already there is a problem. He's for sure not there. But I what's the ideal? Where should I be? I should be learning this amount of hours a day, and I should be doing this amount of chesed, and I should be helping out over here. You have to focus, what is my ideal? If at least you know the ideal, you have that 200-foot ladder and you can lean it up. And slowly, slowly, you can take step by step to go further and further to hopefully reach the top of the castle and get the riches. But we always have to keep focus and idea. And perhaps that is what the Pasuk is telling us. Hayoim, hayoim, hayoim. Today, we have a choice of bracha uklola. How are we going to accomplish that? Take the past and do tshuva on it. It's Rosh Chodesh El. We have to start working on, we have to get ready for Rosh Hashanah, which is coming, we have to do tshuva, take all the various, take him out of the closet, do tshuva mehava, because you love the Rebbeinu Shalom, and you feel bad that you did a chet, so you want to do better now. So you take it out and say, how can I improve? I did this wrong, I shouldn't have done it. How can I avoid it? How can I make sure it doesn't come up again? And then the third ayam is telling us is that, look at today, but remember also the future, Hayoim, the future of Hayoim. I'm where I am today. I'm not where I should be. But if you can keep the ideal, and you can keep that always, that focus in your mind, then you have a shaychus to getting there. It says in Rabbeinu Yoina, in Shari Tshuva, he says, he quotes Pasuk in Mishlei, Pasuk says, how do we know what a person really is, what his thoughts really are? You can see by what he praises. What does he hold chashev by him? It says in the Pachad Yitzchak in his Maimer and Purim that there can be a person who learns the whole day Torah, and you can have a person who works the whole day and barely learns Torah. And the person who works the whole day and barely learns Torah could be greater than the person who learns the whole day. Because if the person who's learning Torah says, you know, I wish I had a Lexus like the other guy. I wish, yeah, I'm learning. This is where I am. This is my lot in life. And I'm too lazy to go out to work. But, you know, I really would rather have all those things. What does he praise? Ooh, look at that chasha thing. Look at that big guy. Ooh, what does he praise? That's what the Mishnah is telling us. That he's looked at upon as, he's not such a Torah idiot. A person who is working, he has no choice. He has to work. And he says, oh, Yenim, wow, he learns. Yenim, oh, he's a Talmud Chacham, he does Chesed. And that's what he praises. And that is what, that's how you see the true worth and the true values of a person. And that is how we can get to that Madrega. Even though, of course, the people that learn Torah should be Mahal Torah as well. It doesn't mean anyone that's learning Torah should not be Mahal. Of course, the people that learn Torah should be Mahal. But even the people that are not working, that are not learning full-time, and they have to work. But if you mahal the Torah, mahal those that learn the Torah, you mahal those that are doing chesed, and that's your focus, and that's your vision, then that's where you're holding. We should be zoyche, we should do a proper tshuva as we come to the Kodesh Shavuot, and Rosh Hashanah, we should be niftar, we should have a ksiva, a ksima taiva, and a good givensha. Have a good shavuot.